We'll take the Word of God, turn please to the book of Isaiah, the chapter number 35. The book of Isaiah and the chapter number 35. We'll read the chapter together, a most encouraging chapter. So Isaiah chapter number 35, and we'll begin at the opening verse, please. The Word of God says, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, an excellency of Carmel and Sharon. And they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, and the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Amen, and we'll end at the close of the chapter. Let's keep the Bible, the Word of God, open before us. Let's now seek just briefly the Lord in a word of prayer. Loving Father, we do take the words of the hymn that we have just sung as the expression of our desire. Master, speak, thy servant heareth, listening for thy every word. We pray that our hearts will be open and our ears to the Word of God today. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt speak to hearts, and we pray that we might be instructed in thy word. Come, feed thy children, we pray. We pray that thou wilt feed them from the finest of the wheat. Pray, Lord, that we might be applicable and applicable in all that we say today. And Lord, that which we're taught, may we live it out in our lives. We pray that we'll not only hear the word, but we'll be doers of the word. Help me to be a doer of the word. Lord, let me not preach to others, and I myself live a hypocritical life. But Lord, gracious God, help me to apply the Word of God to my own experience, my own walk with God. So bless our waiting souls. Fill me with thy Spirit and with thy power, that I might minister in the Holy Ghost. I pray this, my petition, in and through Jesus' holy name. Amen. And amen. While our messages relating to our walk with God up until this point of time have been based around specific statements that we find within the Word of God, such as walk in love, walk circumspectly, walk in wisdom, today's message is based upon what we can infer about our walk with God from the words that we find in Isaiah chapter 35 and the verses 8 and 9. Let us read those verses again. It says, "And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there." As we look at these particular words, we come to understand then that the Christian's walk with God, and thus our conduct in life before men, is to be marked by holiness. The redeemed are said to walk in the way of holiness. It is the redeemed who walk in this particular highway, a way that is called the way of holiness. And so we can but infer that these words remind us that the walk of the Christian is to be a holy walk. God's people are to walk in holiness. Now, let me be honest and begin by saying that this is probably one of the most hardest things to do as we live in this sinful world. But today I want to show you how you can do that from the counsel that we have within the Word of God. How do I walk in a holy way? How do I walk in holiness? How do I walk this way of holiness? Before I launch into the message itself, I have a confession to make. I've preached this message before. I haven't preached it to you as a congregation in its entirety, but I have preached it to our young people. And so I suppose, young people, this will be a refresher for you today, and I trust that for others it will come with freshness to your own heart and your soul. Because as I preached on that particular occasion, I felt that a wider audience needed to hear this particular message. And so we want today to think about walking in holiness. And as we think about walking in holiness, we come to ask the question, how is such a walk achieved in our lives? How is such a walk achieved whenever we meet with sin and temptation every day, whenever sin and temptation is found on every hand? How can I walk in holiness? Well, let me give you a number of pointers that will help you and direct you and aid you into this walk that God demands of all of His people, to walk in holiness. If you want to walk in holiness, and it is a command, then I believe, first of all, that you need to keep God before you. Keep God before you. You see, everything that we do in this world takes place under the all-seeing eye of God. God is omnipresent. Proverbs 15, verse 13 tells us that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You see, there are some people and they foolishly think, well, if they can perform their activities, do things under the cover of night or maybe behind the locked door of a bedroom, that such deeds are hidden from the sight of God. But we're reminded in Psalm 139 and the verses number 11 and 12, we read these words, "If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee." Now, that might sound quite elliptical, that might sound quite profound, but it simply refers to the fact that it matters not with regard to God whether it's day or night. Night is just like day to God, and day is just like night to God. It's just God can see all things that we do. And so living our lives in that awareness, aware that God sees all that I do, is a great deterrent not to sin. It is a great deterrent when it comes to choosing to do that which is right or that which is wrong. You see, the Christian lives in light of the truth that Hagar came to express over there in Genesis 16 in the verse 13. "Thy God seest me." God sees us. He knows all things about us, but He sees us. He sees all that we do. And keeping that in front of you should be a deterrent to keep you on the way of holiness and not to stray into the fields and the bypath meadows of sin. But keeping this truth before you, that God sees all that I do, should keep you and help you to walk in holiness. Not only that, not only is God omnipresent, but God is omniscient. God knows all things about us. We might be able to pull the wool over the eyes of others. We might be able to deceive our friends. We might even be able to fool the minister or the spiritual oversight of a congregation. But we cannot hoodwink, we cannot deceive, we cannot fool God. That psalm again, Psalm 139 in the verses 1 through to 4, we read, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word in my tongue, but thou, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Whenever we live our lives in the light of the truth that God knows all things about us, I believe that this will help us to walk then in holiness. When we turn on our computer, when we turn on our televisions, when we turn on our smartphones, we must remember that God knows all things about us, and all things that we are watching, viewing, and listening to. He knows what's on the computer cache. He knows what's with regard to your viewing history. Such things are not hidden from him. And this ought to guide then our choices. God knows all things about me. God knows all things about you. There's a man in Scripture who lived his life in light of this very fact. His name was Joseph. Joseph lived his life in light of the fact that God was aware of all things about him. That is why he would reject the advances of Potiphar's wife. He said that he would not sin against God. And thus he was aware that everything he did was under the eye of God, and God knew all things about him. And that's how we ought to live our lives as believers. We should live in this world conscious of the fact that everything that I do and everything that I say and everything that I see is seen and known of God. Keeping God before us will help us to make right choices when temptations confront us, and will assist us, I believe, to walk in the way of holiness before God and before men. Only Christians can walk in such a way. Only the redeemed can walk in such a pathway of holiness. And they will be enabled to do that by keeping God before them. Secondly, a second thing that will enable you to walk in holiness, keep the Scriptures before you. Keep not only God before you, but keep the Scriptures before you. I turn your attention to words over there in Psalm 119, if you turn there, the verses 9 through to 11. Psalm 119, verses 9 through to 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Notice with me that the reading of Scripture is not enough to cleanse our ways. He doesn't say that he would cleanse his way by simply reading the Bible, but rather by taking heed, verse number 9, thereto according to thy word. We need to obey the Bible if we are going to walk in the way of holiness. This Bible, this word, this book has counsel for us. How to walk in holiness. How to walk in holiness. And we need to know its counsel. We need to then integrate the counsel that we find within Scripture with regard to how to live a holy life. You know, we could think about counsel, so many portions of God's Word. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, we're told, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. In that particular verse, 2 Timothy 2:22, we've got a negative command and we've got a positive command. Negatively, we are encouraged to flee also youthful lusts. This isn't simply just written to young people, but to all, every age group. All of us have sinful, base desires that if acted upon, would lead us into gross sin. And so we are encouraged in Scripture to flee. Flee also youthful lusts. Whatever appeals to our lusts and our sinful base fallen desires must be avoided. And the only way that we can avoid that lust is to keep out of its way. That may mean that you would have to curtail the various sites that you would visit on the internet, if you have the internet. It'll certainly curtail the programs that you watch. It'll certainly cause you to question the reading material that you digest, the places that you would go as a Christian in order to flee also youthful lusts. If you're to walk in this way of holiness, there will be places that you will not go. There will be things that you will not listen to or watch. If you're to continue to walk in the way of holiness, flee also youthful lusts. J.C. Riley wrote a book for young men. It was entitled Young Men Exhorted, and this is what he said. He said, "Where is your use of your praying? Lead us not into temptation, unless you are yourselves careful not to run into it." He went on to say, flee. Prayer is not enough. Prayer is not enough. He said, many have prayed and have not found it sufficient. Therefore, the advice in the Bible is rational. Flee. The usual receipt for resisting sin is fight. But Ryle said, I venture to say, the Bible and common sense recommend flight rather. Instead of fighting, flight. Flee youthful lusts. And so negatively we are to flee, but then positively we are to follow. And what are we to follow? Well, Paul exhorts Timothy to follow after righteousness, that which is right, that which is godly, that which is holy, and faith and charity and peace. And so instead of running towards those things that would gratify our lusts, we are to gravitate towards those that will maintain our purity in the form of that which is righteous, that is faith, that is marked by charity, and that which is marked by peace. We have also counsel over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The word communications means being together, friendships, companionships, a close contact. As it were, as a word, it really refers to the friendships that we form with one another. And getting into friendships and getting into relationships with the ungodly have resulted in many leaving the way of holiness and have gone the way of sin. By forming companionships and friendships and relationships with the ungodly has caused many a person who has walked in holiness to then fall into sin. Gross sin. Great sin. Grievous sin. I thank God the blood of Christ does cleanse. Repentance of sin is offered and acknowledged by the sinner. There's a place of cleansing always at the cross for our sin. But here we find the instruction about evil communications. Don't be deceived about it. Don't be fooled to think that you can run with the ungodly and not be affected by it. Young person, don't think that you can form friendships with the ungodly and not be tempted by it. That you'll become like them. And their language will become your language. And the places that they go will be the places that you will go. And the sins that they commit will be the sins that you will commit. And it will bring heartache and trouble and sorrow into your life. Many have proved it to be so. And so there's counsel. Counsel in God's word is to the company that you're not to keep. And then there's counsel in God's word is to the company that you are to keep. The psalmist said, Psalm 119, verse 63, I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that precepts. Friends who keep the word of God, friends who love the word of God, friends who fear God will entice you not to sin, but help you to avoid sin, by their example and by their encouragement, and they'll walk the way of holiness with you. And that's the people you need to put around yourself. The people of God. If you're a Christian, you need to be in the company of God's people. People who are walking the way of holiness. Who are walking the clean and the clean side, as it were, with God. A way that is marked by righteousness and truth. A way that is marked by holiness. These are the people that you need to walk with. And so shun bad companions and cleave to those who are striving to walk the way of holiness. There's other counsel found there in Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I say, if you want to walk the way of holiness, then you're going to have to put into your mind things that will promote and cultivate holiness within your life. A holy mind will lead to a holy walk. A holy mind will lead to a holy life. And so what goes through the eye gate and what goes into the ear gate is vital. Therefore, be discerning as to what you watch. Be discerning as what you read. Be discerning as what you listen to. Meditate on those things that will engender holiness in your life, and not those things that will sully or soil the mind and eventually will lead on to the committing of sin. You see, whenever we read the Scriptures and heed the Scriptures, this will have a sanctifying effect upon our hearts. The Lord Jesus Christ, He spoke about the work of sanctification. And He spoke to His disciples about that work of sanctification within His high priestly prayer over there in John chapter 17. And He spoke to them about the means by which this work of sanctification, this making of us holy, how it actually takes place, the vehicle that God uses. And in John 17, verse 17, He prays this prayer. He says, "Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth." If you want to live a holy life, then align your life to this teaching of Scripture. Conform your life to the standards of God's word. Put your life into the Bible and let the Bible be put into your life and live out the Bible, the word of God. All the truth that sanctifies us is found in the Word of God. And therefore it is incumbent upon us to read the Word, to study the Word, to obey the Word. If we want to advance in holiness, if we want to walk the way of holiness, keep the Scriptures before you. Keep the Scriptures before you. The Scriptures will never lead you into sin. Never will the Scriptures lead you into sin. The Scriptures and its teaching will always lead you into holiness. And if you're saying today, "Well, preacher, I believe that I should be there and I should be performing those activities and I have no problem with it," I tell you, you're a person and you're not living your life by the Word of God. So keep the Scriptures before you. Mark, a third thing that will help us to walk in holiness. Thirdly, keep the cross before you. Keep the cross before you. You see, the cross is God's counteroffensive to sin. The cross is God's counteroffensive to sin. The cross is the ground of victory. The cross is the ground of overcoming. The cross is the means by which we, weak, frail, impotent individuals, human beings, can overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. By the cross of Jesus Christ, I can live a life of victory. I can live a life of triumph. I can live a life of success in the Christian life. I can live a life whereby I walk in holiness and I walk with the smile of God upon me. through the victory of the cross. And thank God we can stand into the victory of the cross. If you want to walk in holiness, then keep the cross of Jesus Christ before you. Let me develop that thought for a little moment of time. Let me first of all say, when we think about keeping the cross before you, keep the person of the cross before you. Keep the person of the cross before you. Now, obviously, the person I speak of is none other than the lovely, the precious, the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the person that we think of when we think about the cross of Calvary. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the example to us in all areas of our living. And whenever it comes to walking in holiness, surely in Him we find the greatest example that we can imitate. In Hebrews chapter 7, we read about our great high priest. And we read about the Savior, the Son of God there, when it tells us in Hebrews, in the chapter number 7, in the verse 26, for such an high priest became us, who is holy. That's the very first attribute concerning Jesus Christ and this high priest that we have in heaven. He's described, first of all, as being holy. And then it goes on to say that he's harmless. And then we have this thought of holiness again in the word undefiled. He's undefiled. And then it's developed again that he's separate from sinners. Separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. Living as a man among men, the Son of God came to the end of his earthly life as pure and as holy as when he first entered the world. That speaks of his uniqueness. No other man ever lived like Jesus Christ. No other man ever walked like Jesus Christ. He walked in holiness. He walked a life of sinlessness. He was the impeccable, unblemished, faultless, flawless Son of the living God. And as he is our representative, and as we look to him as my representative, as a child of God, I see that in his walk, he walked in holiness, and thereby, as I am joined to him, united to him, I, by faith, can walk a holy life, just as Jesus Christ walked. We may never attain to the complete holiness that Christ ever attained to. And yet, when we walk in Christ's footsteps, we will avoid many a thing that will and would contaminate and pollute us. 1 John 3, verse 3, John sets before us the Lord Jesus Christ as the model, the example, the type, the pattern for his readership to aspire to when it came to purity of life. And every man that hath this hope in himself, purify himself even as he is pure. And so keep the Lord Jesus Christ, your example. Keep him before you. Keep him before you as you go out into the world this week. As you think about your Savior, your Lord, your Redeemer. Think about how he walked in this world. And resolve by the grace of God and by the help of the Spirit that you're going to walk as he walked. And if you're going to do that, then you're going to walk this way of holiness. You're not going to walk in sin. You're not going to walk after unrighteousness. But you're going to walk after that which is holy and pure. And so keep the person of Christ before you. To enable you to walk in holiness, secondly, keep the purpose of the cross before you. Christ died to make an unholy people holy. Don't miss it. Christ died to make an unholy people holy. Various texts of Scripture speak to that. One of them is Matthew 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from out of their sins. Galatians 1, verse 4, who gave himself for our sins. Why did he do that? What was his purpose? that he gave himself for our sins. Why did he die for us on the cross? That he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Titus 2 verse 14, who gave himself for us, why? That he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Brethren and sisters, Christ died to set us free from our sin. Sin need not to have dominion over us. We can stand into the victory and into the triumph of Christ. And by such, by faith, we can overcome the world and the flesh and the devil. Christ died to make you holy. He died to make you holy. And in that holiness, we are to walk until our feet find ourselves walking in the holy city, the New Jerusalem. So keep the purpose of the cross. Why did he die? He died to make me holy, and thereby I am to walk in holiness. That was his purpose. To enable you to walk in holiness, then thirdly, think about the price of the cross. Keep the price of the cross before you. Every sin you and I ever commit as Christians, Christ had to suffer for those sins. Did you ever think about that, believer? Christ had to suffer for the sins that I committed since I gathered in this house last Lord's Day. In the 3 hours of darkness when sin was placed upon the Son of God, he had to die for the sins that I committed in the last 7 days. I tell you, that is a sobering thought. To think that he had to go to the utmost extent to pay the price of the sins that I would commit for the entirety of my life. Christ would have to die for those sins. He would have to face the wrath of God, the justice of God, the punishment of God for my sins when he hung and bled and suffered and died upon the cross. I tell you, if that does not sober you, and if that does not convince you to walk in the way of holiness, I don't know what else can. To think that he had to die for my sin in the last 7 days. I tell you, that thought would always inspire and should always inspire us to live holy lives. Instead of being casual about our sin, instead of being dismissive about our sin, if we would only but know the price that he had to pay and the sufferings that he had to endure and the agony that he had to go through in order to pay the price of that sin, in order to have that sin cleansed and dealt with to the satisfaction of God, then surely I would have sinned less in the last week. The price was high to put away sin. And so our sin must never be viewed as some kind of trivial matter. The price Christ paid for my sin by his death upon the tree should motivate me to sin less and to live a life of holiness. So keep the cross before you, the person, the purpose, and the price of the cross. Keep them all before you, as by the grace of God you resolve to walk the way of holiness. Fourthly, something else that you can do that will motivate you to walk in holiness. Holiness. Keep your calling before you. Keep your calling before you. Now, we often think about a minister's calling or a missionary's calling. They have been called of God to go into the ministry, or called of God to go on to the mission field. But did you know that every Christian has a calling from God? Every believer. If you're the quietest Christian in this house, the most shyest, most self-retiring individual in this house, did you know that you have got a calling from God? God has a calling upon your life. And we read of that calling over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and the verse number 7. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. God hath not called us on to uncleanness, but on to holiness. That's our calling. You see, whenever Christ called us in salvation, it was not that then we should live lives of impurity, but rather it is that we would live lives of holiness. He's called us on to holiness. And since that is the calling of every Christian, it is then incumbent upon us to fulfill that purpose for which we have been called. Because failure to do so is not then to live up to our calling. This is the calling by which every Christian is to live up to in this house. God is a calling on your life, and it's a calling on to holiness. And if you fail to live up to that calling, then you are not fulfilling the calling of God upon your life. You know, beloved, it isn't optional for us to live and to walk in holiness. It's obligatory. It's obligatory. To walk in holiness is not optional. It is obligatory. We are called to be saints, holy ones. And thus, we are to live up to our calling. Holiness, purity of life, godliness, whatever term you wish to employ, that is our calling, that's our profession, that's our business as believers. As we go out into the world today, tomorrow, in the next week, we are to live up to our calling. My calling as a Christian is on to holiness. That's my calling. Let it be fixed in your mind, child of God. This isn't the calling of simply the preacher, of the elders, the committee men, although that is essential. That is essential. But for every Christian, every child of God, you have a calling, and it is to a calling on to holiness. Now you may say to yourself, well, how can I live up to such a high and holy calling? You know your own life. You know your own struggles. Here you are, and maybe in the last week, you haven't walked in the way of holiness. You've come into God's house, and you feel filthy. You feel dirty. You feel soiled. Maybe something that you watched, something that you said, something that you did, somewhere where you went. And here you are in God's house, and you say, here I am, I've got a calling here. And the preacher's saying, and God is saying it to me, that I've been not called on to uncleanness, but on to holiness. This is what God expects of me as a believer. And you may say, well, preacher, how can I live up to this high and holy calling? Well, let me say to you, the wonderful thing is that you don't have to do it alone. But rather, the triune Godhead helps you in this very matter. Let me explain what I mean. To help us to live up to our high and holy calling, there is the purpose of God the Father. The Father's purpose for each of His children is found there in Ephesians chapter 1, the verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. God the Father has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That was His purpose. That was the purpose of the Father. Before man was ever created, that He would redeem a people, and that those people would be holy and without blame before Him in love. That was the determined purpose of God the Father. And let me say, child of God, everything that the Father has purposed will come to pass. And since this is His purpose, then we can be assured that we will be those people who are holy. And thank God, we'll be without blame before Him in love. And so it is the purpose of the Father. All purposes of the Father are accomplished, and thus we can live a holy life in this world. How do I put this into practice? Get before God this afternoon and say to God, Father, this is Your purpose for me, that I am to be holy and that I am to be without blame before thee in love. Lord, help me to walk in holiness. This is your purpose for me. And what you have purposed, I believe. Thank God thou hast given all required for that purpose to be fulfilled in my life. In my life. Not only the purpose of God the Father, the prayers of God the Son. In the high priestly prayer of Christ the Savior prayed in John 17 verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, speaking of the child of God, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Christ is praying that we will be kept from the evil, from sin, from all that is impure in this world. What a line of defense that is against encroachment of sin into the life of the child of God, that Jesus Christ is praying for my holiness. He's praying that I would be kept from the evil, kept from sin. The purpose of the Father, the prayers of the Son, the power of the Spirit. The Spirit's power within, helping me to live a life of holiness. You see, the Spirit of God has come to live within us. And by His Spirit, thank God, He gives us power. Empowering the people of God to live holy lives. And so seek then every day the infilling of His Spirit. Be sensitive to His leading and His prompting throughout the day. How is the Spirit of God described in Scripture? He is described as the Spirit of holiness. And thus, He will guide you into holiness. He will guide you away from sin and into holiness. One final thought to draw to your attention. If you want to walk in holiness, then fifthly, keep the judgment day before you. Keep the judgment day before you. Concerning the day of judgment, we read in Romans 2 verse 16, in that day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. You see, you might be intelligent enough. You might be intelligent enough to clear your computer cache, to delete your browsing history before your parents or before your wife or your husband looks at it. You might be intelligent enough and clever enough to hide your sinful activities from others, but I want to remind you that in the record books of God, every deed that you have done, whether publicly or privately, every deed that you have committed has been recorded and catalogued in God's books. And unless repented of, those sins will stand against you in the day of judgment. 1 Corinthians 4:5. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts, and then shall all men and every man have praise of God. Each and every one of us are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give an account of our lives. It is that day of accountability and that day of reckoning that I believe should inspire us to walk in the ways of holiness. As we see the approaching of Jesus Christ, what manner of conversation ought you to be? But in holiness we are to walk. A holy walk, a holy walk. Keeping that day before you should guard you, should govern how you conduct your life and what you do and what you say and what you watch and what you listen to, that you realize I must stand before God someday, should inspire you to keep those feet of yours and that life of yours in the way of holiness. The way of holiness. The way to heaven is a way of holiness. Let me ask you, are you by God's grace, are you walking in that way of holiness today? If not, then what hope have you ever being in the holiest place that ever exists, heaven itself? What hope have you of heaven if your feet aren't walking the way of holiness? If your feet aren't on the narrow way, if you're still on the broad road, What hope have you ever been in heaven, the holy city? Hebrews 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. For all those whose hope of heaven is in Christ the Redeemer, God calls us to walk in holiness. Let us keep to that way, the holy way. I tell you, it is the safest way, and it is the only way to heaven and to holiness. Let's walk in holiness. As we are now, I trust, walking humbly, honestly, as now we're walking in love, as we're walking circumspectly, as we're walking wisely, and all other walks that we have considered and all other walks that are yet to be considered, that we'll walk in these ways. Because, folks, this is Christian living. This is what God expects of us. This is what will cause men and women outside the walls of this building to understand that there is something real about the God that these believers talk about, speak about, and serve. May God help me. May God help you to walk in holiness. And may these helps assist you as you endeavor by the grace of God to walk in holiness. May God bless His word to our hearts. Let's pray together. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come before Thee and confess that at times we're doing anything but walking in holiness. We pray for forgiveness and cleansing in Jesus' blood. Lord, we cry to Thee that we may walk as Thou would have us to walk. Not as what we think, Lord, but as God would have us to walk, a way of holiness. May there be a putting away of all sin. May there be a realization, O God, even in all of our lives, that there are matters that need to be put right, that there are things that we have done, things that we have said, things that we have listened to and watched, that certainly are not helpful to engender holiness within our lives. Help the children to walk in holiness. Help the teenagers to walk in holiness. Help the adults to walk in holiness. Help our committee men. Help our elders. Help the minister to walk in holiness. That there would be nothing said about us, Lord, nothing of truth said about us that would damage the testimony of Jesus Christ. Make us a holy people. Holiness is our watchword. May it ever be so. Help me to be a holy man of God. Help my brethren and sisters to be the holy ones, the saints that Thou hast died to make us. So answer prayer, and part us in Thy fear, and return us to Thy house this evening. We pray our petitions in and through our Savior's holy name.